Let us again pray. Our gracious God, may we truly be captives of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be taken by Him savingly and to be led in the right way. Lord, may we listen to Thee, may we hear Thee tonight, and we know that Thy ways will produce blessing, will truly make us eternally happy and make us right with Thee. Lord, help us then, we pray, that we might receive Thy word and bring forth fruit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last verse of Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36, we read these words, which is a warning to all. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Throughout this passage in which our text lies, we hear someone speaking. We listen to a voice of a certain person. And this fact is proved by the frequent use of certain pronouns throughout the verses that we read here in this passage. 14 times there is this personal pronoun, I, is used. 13 times me is used. 6 times that word my is used. And in the light of these details, there is no doubt that there is a definite person who is speaking here. This particular person gives us his name and does so at the very outset of this section of this chapter. In verse 12, he says, I, wisdom. I, wisdom. And so he names himself, he identifies himself. And so the person who speaks in this passage is named Wisdom. Wisdom. And we have to understand that furthermore, the word wisdom not only gives us his name, it is also a revelation of his nature. Who he is. This person who is speaking here is giving us what is right, what is true, what is wise, and what will do us good. That's his nature. And he is revealing that in his name. It's entirety. This portion of God's word is this presentation of the tremendous wisdom that the speaker has. This is the book of wisdom. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And we can clearly see also from these verses that the speaker possesses wisdom, has wisdom that is immense in its extent and soul-enriching in its value. It will do us good if we take heed to it, if we listen to what this wisdom says, this person says. It is wisdom that is designed to save souls of men and deliver them from their sin and its terrible consequences. So wisdom is speaking here to us. This person speaking to us. I, wisdom, he says. And the fact that the person is speaking throughout the length of this passage, and this person is called wisdom, is underlined by certain things, certain activities on his part. He is said to dwell. He is said to find out. He is said to love. I love them that love me. And he is said to hate and to lead and to fill. All of these are his activities, the things that he does. And these kinds of actions can be performed only not by an abstract person. No one can love you who is an abstract person in a book, in a storybook. Certain person of the past who is now long dead. No, it can only be done by a living person. Somebody who is alive now can love you. Somebody who is alive now can stay with you and dwell with you and lead you. Also, we have a word of authority that is a scribe. He is a person who has authority, absolute authority. Because we read that by him kings reign and princes make their decrees, and nobles and all the judges of the earth exercise their rule. It is by him that the world is being governed. He is a person of authority. And such authority belongs only to a person. And the obvious point that person who speaks has all the excellence and all the glorious attributes that belong to deity, belongs to God. It belongs to what we were thinking of this afternoon, of divine essence, the divine nature. He says in verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. He was set up from everlasting. He was there from eternity past. And then in verse 27, he tells us that he was already there when the heavens were prepared. Before the heavens were made, he was already there. In other words, he is an eternal person. He's always been. And indeed, he shows himself, reveals himself to be an eternal son. He is an eternal son. In verse 30, you read, then I was by him as one brought up with him. Brought up with him. It's poetic language that is used here that gives us this thought of some child who is being brought up. It's a reference to his sonship, that he is the Son of God. He is that eternal Son. But note also that this person is claiming co-equality with God. He is co-equal with God. In verse 30, he says, I was by him. I was by him. These words signify to us that he is on the same level or is equal with God. And so in terms of what we have seen, what is employed here, we are listening to somebody who is co-eternal and co-equal with God. But then in this passage, we learn something more. He also points to the fact that he is man as well as God. This is especially seen in verse 31. He says, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. He says, the habitable parts of the earth. He speaks of the sons of men. And when he is speaking in this way, he does so in such a manner as to point at least to his being a man himself. He was amongst men. He dwelt with them. He inhabited and he lived amongst them. And so in this wonderful passage, we are listening to someone who is given the name of wisdom, who possesses deity. He is God. He is also the eternal Son. And yet, he is a man. Who is he then? You already know the answer, of course. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Savior of sinners. And in support of this conclusion, we bring the testimony of the New Testament as well. The Apostle Paul speaks of Jesus Christ and refers to him as the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then in Luke's Gospel, Luke 11 and verse 49, we read, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles. And the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say, I will continue to send my messengers throughout the world. Jesus Christ sends his truth through his people throughout this world. And so, in the light of all of these scriptures, there is absolutely no doubt that this is about Jesus Christ. The Lord is saying, I am wisdom. Jesus Christ is saying, I am wisdom. Hear me. Listen to me. Hearken to me. And how solemn this passage is. This text is a climax to the entire passage and to all that Christ as wisdom personified has been saying. He says, but he that sinneth against me, who? Me, Jesus Christ. Who? The wisdom of God. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that they that hate me love death. It is this wisdom's final warning, as it were. A final warning to those who hear his voice and yet act in such a way as to jeopardize their eternal well-being. They are doing wrong to themselves. You might have, maybe in your life, you've played in a football team. Have you ever scored in your own net? What an embarrassing thing that is. I have done it a few times myself. And you don't mean it, but you do it. What a shame it brings. How disappointed you will be. But what about your soul? If you are scoring against yourself, and then at last you lose, not a mere game, but the soul and life. So here is our text. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. The first thing I want to notice is a foolish crime. Here is a foolish crime. Note the words, he that sinneth against me. There is a crime that is committed. There's something done against somebody else. And the Lord Jesus Christ here, as we have seen, this is about him. He is speaking here. He warns of sinning against him. And in doing so, he continues to reveal to us that he is God. He is God who can be sinned against. For only someone who is God could use such language and make such a serious accusation. You and I could never say such words. No prophet could, a mere man who is a prophet could ever say such words. So he warns of the crime of sinning against him. A serious crime. A crime that is folly of the greatest kind. But this particular crime of which the Lord Jesus Christ speaks is the sin of negligence. Negligence. Neglecting the things related to him. Neglecting the things of Christ. Neglecting his gospel. Neglecting our own soul. The things that is in connection to our salvation. Neglecting all that he says and reveals that leads to the salvation and the deliverance of men from sin. We take it lightly. And he says, you're committing a great crime if you do that. And the proof of this negligence is clearly in view. Note how this passage begins, this text begins, with the word, but he that sinneth against me. Think about it. This word is telling us there's a contrast that God is making. Contrast with the thing that has gone before. In verses 32 to 34, Christ gives advice to sinners. He is calling unto sinners. In verse 32, he says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. So he's saying, look, listen, you want to be happy. You want to receive that eternal happiness. And this is it. Listen to me. And so he's saying these things, and it is in contrast with that. He says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. So he's clearly speaking in regards to the neglecting of his spiritual counsel. He says, don't neglect it. Why would you do that? Why would we neglect such a wonderful thing that when Christ is offering us life and salvation, and that not only for a short time, but forever. Notice the features of this negligence. What are the things that we are told here about this negligence? One of the things we have already mentioned, not listening to what he says. Do you listen to people? Do you listen to advice? It's not an easy thing to take advice, is it? It can easily go against the grain. Have you tried to give advice to someone? How sad it is when your advice, you mean well, and it's not received. People are offended by it. They think you are thinking lowly of them. That you are putting yourself above them. But my friends, this is one person that we ought to take his advice. Hear instruction, he says in verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Don't refuse it. Don't put it away. But listen, he says. Hear God's instructions. His teaching about the way of salvation. He is exhorting them to be wise and not refuse it. But by inference, the sin, the crime of verse 36 is doing the very opposite. Not hearkening, not hearing, refusing to listen, willfully turning from the message of the gospel. And so all of us here, especially you who are unconverted, you ought to listen to this message. What Christ is saying. Have you not heard before what he has done for us? How he died instead of us to take away our sins on his cross? But have we received it? Have we listened to it? Have we truly repented of sin? I feel that many people who say, well, I want to trust him and so on, but they refuse to truly repent of sin, turning away, truly giving themselves to God, and moving and going in his direction only. But another feature is not obeying him. In verse 32 and the latter part, we read, for blessed are they that keep my ways. And that is talking about obedience. The word blessed means happy. Happy. People aim to find happiness in all kinds of wrong places. You have done it, I have done it. But here he says, go here. Find happiness in this. Christ shows that to obey him is the road to true happiness of soul and life. To disobey can only lead to misery and heartache. And we don't want that. But another thing that we are told is rejecting his exclusive authority. In verse 34, you have this. The terms of this verse are indicative of authority that is exclusive. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. He says, I have that authority. I am God. And because of who he is, the Lord Jesus Christ has that exclusive authority. No one else can speak to you like the Lord Jesus Christ can. Because he's our creator. And if he is our creator, then we are obliged to listen to him. And the final feature of this negligence is failing to seek him. Failing to seek him. It says in verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. This finding has to do with seeking. In verse 17 we read, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Is the reason that we have not found the Lord, that we have not truly, with sincerity, with all our hearts, sought him? Or have we said, okay, I am going to seek him, I will pray to him, but then tomorrow we forget it. We forget all the promises, all the resolutions that we have made, that I will do this and I will do that, and this is the way I will walk after him. So here is this foolish crime. This sin against Christ is also that of not seeking him. And he should be sought. We should seek him. We seek many things in this world. We try to find something that will do us good. But the greatest thing that you and I ought to seek is Jesus Christ. And then we must move on. We must notice the focus of this negligence. Again, note the words, he that sinneth against me. That's the focus of it. Against me. We have to take this to heart, that it is sin whose focus is Christ himself. So negligence of Christ, and that is that in a certain way, negligence of Christ as to the only mediator of sinners. If we neglect him, that, and we do not seek him as our only mediator, our only go-between, between us and God, then we have sinned against him. You see, Jesus Christ is the only one who pleases his Father. The Father is well pleased in him. He has been appointed as our mediator, and we do need a mediator. I read one of the Puritans earlier last week, and he said this, that Christ and his Father, God is the best of friends, the greatest of friends, but also God can be our greatest enemy. And how true that is. We ought to have him as our friend, not as our enemy. The Lord Jesus Christ, he always pleased his Father. The Son rejoiced the Father's heart. And he always did his will. And if we neglect him, we are neglecting the only thing that pleases the Father. And the Savior of men, eagerly awaiting the time when he would go forth to dwell with men, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, as we read. Those words signify Christ's desire to leave heaven, to come down to this earth, to rescue sons of men and save them. And so in these verses we can clearly see, on one hand, the high and holy God, and on the other hand, the lost sons of men. But in between, there is the appointed mediator who is coming, his wisdom. He's coming and he gives us all these instructions. And he says, believe me and live. Don't sin against me. Why would you do that? It would be a foolish crime to do such a thing, to neglect this blessed Savior and mediator, the only way of salvation that there is through him. Now, the second thing that I want us to take note of is this consequence, the fearful consequence that is before us. Think about that statement. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Wrongeth his own soul. The word wrongeth has the sense of doing violence to the soul. And the point is obvious. Those who sin against Christ do violence to their souls by depriving them of the benefits, of the blessings that Christ affords the soul. When a man sins against Christ, the only Savior and Redeemer, he robs his own soul of the opportunity to have Christ, to have his salvation, the blessings of the all-sufficient atonement. of all that Jesus Christ has done. We rob ourselves of heaven. You think about it, my friends. If you do that to your bodies, you would not do that to yourself physically. There is this law of your blood going through your body, circulating. The blood goes around your body. It goes from the heart to artery, to capillary, and back again through the veins. The blood goes, it repairs, and takes the waste, carries off the useless matter. It gives health and strength. And there's a law there. God has designed us with blood in our veins to do all of these wonderful things. And it's amazing to study that. But imagine if you open one of your veins and let it bleed out. How long will you have until you have bled out? That you have lost all your blood? If you do that, then you will die. What you have done is you have transgressed the law. You have done something against yourself. But what about the soul? We have wronged our souls. If we forfeit the priceless blessings found in Christ. And that's what we are being told here. Don't forfeit those blessings. Christ is speaking to us of gospel blessings. And he says to us under images in verses 18 and 19, he says the gospel blessings are like riches, are like honor. They are durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying here that the things that I'm offering to you, they're lasting things. They're eternal things. It will do your soul good. They are of great value to you. Don't let it, don't neglect it, don't forfeit it. In the New Testament, we are told of the unsearchable riches of Christ. We are told in everything you are enriched by Him. The riches of His grace, mercy, glory, goodness, all of these things are offered to us. Forgiveness of sins. What a wonderful thing that is to have. To say, I am forgiven. Not by anything I have done, but because of Christ. These gospel riches, oh my friends, are to get no matter what it costs them. The scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth in the sense of paying the price that repentance demands. Repent of your sins and receive the truth of the gospel. I counsel thee, we are told in Revelation 3, to buy of me gold tried in the fire. So here our Lord is saying, don't forfeit these blessings. I'm offering these things to you, but what will you do with them? That man is wronging his own soul because he misses the opportunity also to trust Christ. Christ can only be obtained by faith. You can only receive Him and receive salvation by faith. So you sin against Him and do violence to your own soul by refusing to come to Him, to trust Him. And what wrong will you do to your soul? Because Christ alone can meet the need of your heart. You can try to fill it. And maybe you have tried it up to this point. Fill it with all kinds of things. But what has it done? Are you really satisfied? But Jesus Christ, by His grace, what He has done for us, He truly saves and He justifies, He forgives, He cleanses, He reconciles us to God. In Him there is a guarantee of heaven. From Him, the Holy Spirit is given to fill you and fit you for heaven. But until you come to Him, none of this can be yours. Faith in Christ is the first step the sinner must take. And until it is taken, you wrong your soul. It is just like bleeding. You're bleeding out. Don't do that, my friends. And then there's a final charge that we are given. In the closing words, all they that hate me love death. Friends, those who reject Christ, and really by rejecting Him, by not receiving Him, we are hating Him, and we are charged with loving death. Do you love death? No one would love death. But what about our soul? If we do not embrace Christ, receive Christ, it's as if we are doing ourselves damage. What shall it be then? We must embrace Him, but many embrace all that is opposite. And so people love death. We embrace the sins, the corruptions, the defilements of sin. We embrace eternal damnation. And these things, they snatch the soul away from wisdom. We spoil our souls in this way. We infect our souls with the guilt of sin, with the shame of it, with the disgrace of it. And finally, the torments. Do not betray yourself. Do not betray your soul by sin. You know, if we carry on as we are, then we are sure to enter into that everlasting torment. But here is Christ. He says to us, as we are going in the way, on this broad road, He's calling us. He says, I, wisdom, I'm calling to you. Listen to me and live. Love life. Love Christ. Love to receive Him. We are not ready to die unless we are prepared to meet our God. So let us not betray ourselves this evening. I ask you, boys and girls, some of you have heard these kinds of messages many, many times. Think seriously. Think, what is your thinking about when you hear these things? Don't you want to know His salvation? Don't you want to get it all right before God now, early in your life? What is it that is hindering you, stopping you? I encourage you to seek the Lord and to know His salvation. Sincerely, take hold of Him and pray to Him, and He will give you life. May God bless us then through His word. Amen.